Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this third Sunday after Pentecost. I'm happy to see all of your faces, and I'm just happy to be here. A couple of announcements for you. There's a deacons meeting in the library following worship, and then after that I am headed to Washington, D.C. through Tuesday evening. I'll be attending the Bread for the World Advocacy Summit. I'll have my phone with me. I probably won't be checking emails very often, but don't hesitate to call or text if there's anything that you need. I'll be back Tuesday evening. It's all great. Any other announcements? There's a session meeting on Wednesday at 7. Anything else I'm missing?
Can Tim join us today under the topic?
Yeah, we will see that soon. We sure will. Okay. Well then, let's gather together and prepare our hearts and minds with our call to worship. On an ordinary Sunday, we come to worship God. We come trusting God will speak to us. We come hoping God will surprise us. On this day, like every other day, we seek to follow Jesus. We follow believing Jesus will be with us. We follow hoping Jesus will work through us. On this day, we lift our souls to God's Spirit. We open our hearts that the Spirit may fill us. We open our hands that we might be a gift to others. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Standing on the Promises. What it's like to be rejected, but we also remember turning our backs on others. We have experienced conflict as well as caused pain to others. Let us confess our foolish lives to the one who seeks to forgive us on this day and every day. Everybody else does it, watching God. And we confess that we do it as well. We listen to those whose promises are sold to the highest bidder. We idolize the celebrities as if they were teachers of ethics. We long for that one person who will make everything right once again, once and for all. Is it any wonder we are disappointed people, God of hope? Forgive us for turning our backs on you, even as you continue to stretch out your arms to us. Forgive us for trusting in those who prove to be false, rather than having faith in your love. Forgive us and fill us with the spirit of faith, which is given to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do not lose heart. When we call, God hears us. When we confess, God forgives us. We believe, and so we proclaim it. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Friends, let us now profess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our congregational anthem, Open the Eyes of My Heart. All sorts of talented people around here. Let us now gather together and lift up our prayers of joy and concern for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. God of creation, you set us in a verdant place and gave us everything needful for an abundant life. Yet we have marred our good creation. We pray for the renewal of creation as we seek to live more responsibly within it. Make us better stewards than we have yet been of water, soil, and air. Teach us how to live in ways that honor the habitats of every living thing. Loving God, we have also marred human relationships by emphasizing our differences and disagreements at the expense of our commonalities and connections. We pray that you will give us new understandings and ways of living with one another, doing the slow work of peace rather than turning to the quick responses of war. We especially pray for an end to the suffering and violence in our world, including Ukraine, Gaza, and Sudan. Give us guidance in receiving our various languages and colors as enrichments rather than deficits, caring for the least and the lost not as unwanted burdens, but as welcome companions in your great household. Renewing God, we know so well that human life is fragile. We see in our own bodies how illnesses and infirmities afflict us. Because you shared in our human life, we come before you to ask for healing, recovery, an end to pain and suffering. Within our community, we remember before you those in need of your care and ours. We pray for Nancy Teggy, who fell a few weeks ago. She's doing fine, but has moved into a nursing home in Florida. We pray for my aunt, Alice Tillotson, who was diagnosed with signet ring cell type carcinoma in the stomach. We pray for the Suga family in Honolulu and the Miller family in Michigan, families and friends of Peggy Joe. We pray for healing and comfort for both the Suga and the Miller families. We pray for our General Minister Special Nominating Committee at the Presbytery as they interview the finalists for the position this month. We ask that you provide them with the discernment of God's call for our presbytery and for their vocation. We also pray for our Commission on Ministry and the Commission on Preparation for Ministry and all of the individuals that they will meet with next week. God, we give thanks for the skills of doctors and nurses and healthcare attendants. We pray for researchers who dedicate themselves to seeking new treatments and cures and procedures that enhance our health. Strengthen all caregivers with the gifts of kindness and patience and endurance. We are grateful, O God, that though our bodies fail us, you renew us spiritually day by day so that we never outlive our usefulness to you. No need, no person is ever hidden from you, God, and never beyond your reach to save. Please remember those that we have overlooked, those whom we have forgotten or forsaken, and those who have wandered away from you. Restore them, we pray, and restore us too, until we are all in your family again. All of these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation. We wait in the peaceful kingdom. seated. Let us continue to worship the Lord through our gifts of talents and tithes, as well as ourselves. In the spirit of faith, great God, we thank you for the opportunity to give tithes and offerings, to participate in extending your grace to a more and more people, and to give all the glory to you. Amen. Don't go too far.
No, it's okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I may, God works in mysterious ways. My cousin passed away right before service. So I want to dedicate this to Jim Miller out in Michigan, and I'll be leaving for the funeral. Okay, today's reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak, because we know the one that who raised Jesus will also raise us with Jesus, and will present us with you in his presence. Indeed, everything is for your sake, so that grace, when it has extended to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For our slight, momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary. What cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen.
Holy God, let your spirit now move us to turn us away from the temporary and move us towards your eternal love made visible in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So there's this Benedictine monk. I know that sounds like a start of a joke. It's not. There was this Benedictine monk from way back in the late 1900s. He was a missionary in India. You finally got that. No, it was 1900s is a long time ago now. he was a missionary in India. Obviously, as a monk, he spent a lot of time with other Christians, and he was studying about Jesus, and but at the same time, he was a missionary in India, so he also spent a lot of time with Hindus and Buddhists, and he liked to ask this question to a lot of people that he met, you know, that came from all over the world. And so what he would ask them is if they would point to God. Where is God? So just out of curiosity, where would you, if Bede Griffiths was asking you this, where is God? Where do you point? Yeah, my first inclination is also, you know, sort of up, and it's not wrong, right? Yeah, it's not wrong. But what Brother Griffiths found was that Judeo-Christians, people from the Western part of the world in general, would point upwards, outside of themselves, towards the heavens. And when he asked people from the eastern parts of the world, mostly Buddhists, Hindus, they would point to their heart. They recognize God as living within themselves, as something internal. So there's also these two theologians from the early 1900s. There were Swiss theologians, Karl Barth and Emil Brunner. And they like to have these little arguments back and forth about where the point of contact between God and human lies. And Barth would say that God is beyond us. God is remote. God is absolutely nothing like us. No matter how hard we try, even though we should try, we will never truly understand God. And Brunner said the exact opposite. God is found within ourselves. Because each of us still have echoes of Eden inside of our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Now, I think the answer lies somewhere between Barth and Brunner's ideas, between East and West, between Judeo-Christianity and Hindu Buddhism. Paul is also using a variety of opposites. He's talking to the Corinthians about the differences between God and people, about living on earth and living in heaven, about what we can see and what we can't see, about temporality and eternity, about what the world is like right now, and what God is moving us towards. And while he's using these divergent concepts, this dualism, he's trying to get the Corinthians to recognize the ways in which God is moving them. And in that, I think about what's in between the lines that Paul is saying. I think about the things that Paul doesn't say, those spaces between dark and light, those shades of gray. So we're pretty sure that this is Paul's third letter to the Corinthians, and that there was a second letter, but it's been lost. And the relationship between Paul and the Corinthians is becoming increasingly strained. He's trying to choose his words really carefully, and he's trying real hard not to get too emotional. And within this letter to the Corinthians, we get this impression that Paul needs to justify himself, to justify his authority, the people seem unconvinced. Like, if this Paul guy has Christ within him, why does he look so weak? He's so short. He's got a unibrow. So why is he suffering so much? Why does his ministry look so inglorious? Basically, why should anyone listen to him? So he quotes Psalm 116, "I believed, so I spoke." He shows that his confidence lies in the fact that the salvation story isn't over yet, that the God who raised Jesus will also raise us. And it's that belief, that faith, that leads Paul to keep speaking, even when it's hard, even when it leads to danger and death. His belief and proclamation are intrinsically intertwined. So all of the troubles that Paul has endured is for the sake of the Corinthians, in order to bring glory to God. By speaking and spreading the gospel, God's grace is reaching more and more people. As God's grace moves into people, their lives are changed. And as their lives are changed, God is glorified. So Paul is going to keep going, regardless of the danger. And then Paul gets into this series of opposites. Our outer nature is wasting. Our inner nature can be renewed. Momentary affliction for eternal glory. What can be seen is temporary, and what can't be seen is endless. An earthly tent juxtaposed with a building from God. But none of us acts purely from our inner or outer nature. No one is completely good or 100% bad. We don't experience total darkness or pure light. Each of us feels the effects of time on our physical bodies. Not a single one of us is going to escape death. At the same time, our belief in the risen Christ reminds us that we have eternal life. We are located somewhere in between. We are both and neither. It's some shade of gray. What we can see doesn't tell us the full story. It's not the full truth, but it's also not a lie. Paul may look like a small, weak man. He may be persecuted, jailed, beaten, tortured for what he says and does, but at the same time, he's being made new. He's being made strong and vibrant by the Holy Spirit. We have some sort of knowledge of here and now, but there are still so many things that we just don't know. There are so many unknowns that won't be answered for us until the end of time. On your bulletins this morning, there is a representation of Glenshaw Valley's logo. We printed it in black and white this week, so it's a little boring. But actually, if you look closely at it, it's not really in black and white. There are four distinct shades of gray in it. And those shades of gray give it a little more depth. you see the picture, the general content of the image comes across, you can tell that it is a stained glass window that's divided by a cross, but without the full spectrum of color, it's kind of a boring stained glass window. But we all still accept that this is a simple two-dimensional representation of something that we recognize. Even if our bulletin contained all 256 shades of gray that you see on the screen, you'd still be left wanting. You'd still want something more. So we look at the picture and we imagine, use our imaginations to fill it all in. We guess what colors go where. They're educated guesses. I don't think that anyone here thinks that the darkest gray sections would be yellow or pink, or that royal blue would fill in the lightest areas. Overall, this black and white picture leads us to want something more. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying we have some knowledge of God's intention for us. We find that within Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Our lives and our experiences and the people around us contribute to our understanding. But this world is only a grayscale representation of God's plans. And that's intriguing. It's something that's partially recognizable. We know that there's got to be something more. Our lives don't tell the whole story, let alone the most important parts of it. Not only is what we experience and see not the whole story, it's also temporary. Just as everything on this earth is temporary, the bulletin in your hand will not be here next week. The pew where you are sitting will eventually decompose. As we all know, just a little too well, our bodies break down. People that we love and rely on will die. And so will we. However, Paul tells us there's more to come, unseen things that aren't fully here yet. God is working in the world within each and every single one of us to bring everything together into eternal glory. The same God who raised Jesus Christ from the grave is bringing about something glorious and everlasting. The Holy Spirit is working, remaking us every single day to ripen the fruits within us in hopes that we will share those fruits with the rest of the world. Just like the grayscale pictures, we take what we see and we make educated guesses to fill in the rest. We can only imagine what the fullness of resurrection looks and feels like, but we know that God is working in the world and within us. I wonder if Brother Bede Griffiths had met Paul and asked Paul to point to God, how Paul might have answered. I imagine that Paul might have first pointed to his heart, and then with his other hand pointed to the world and to the stars and the heavens above. And maybe Paul would have said that both Brunner and Bart were right, that God's presence and triumph is both internal and external. The resurrected Christ renews us from inside out, and God also continues to create a new heaven and earth. And our job is to use what God places within us to imagine the multitude of colors that are in store for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, We Wait for the Peaceful Kingdom. Oh, sorry, wrong one. When We All Get to Heaven, which is on the screen. Before we head back out into the world, let me leave you with a charge and a benediction. Do not lose heart, for we are being prepared for God's glory, immeasurable and eternal. May our Creator, who seeks and finds us, may Christ, who calls and claims us, and may the Holy Spirit, who renews us day by day, sustain us until all that is temporary is gathered into God's eternal glory. Amen.